To continue the program, the big dig continues here at Michigan State University. I'm referring, of course, to the construction of what will become the facility for rare isotope beams, or FRIB. The massive concrete floor of the underground chamber has been poured, and last week the MSU Board of Trustees approved plans to connect a new power line from the T.B. Simon Power Plant on the south end of the main campus here in East Lansing to FRIB. It'll require a substantial amount of power, and current state's Kevin Lavery has studied some of the nuts and bolts of the plan. Kevin, what have you found out?
Well, Mark, I have learned that even a structure designed to use nuclear energy to unlock the secrets of the universe still needs good old-fashioned electricity to run. And as you'll hear in a moment, MSU will have to beef up its infrastructure at its main plant to handle this additional load. So I went down to the T.B. Simon power plant. It's a bit loud in the tape. I apologize here. To talk with Bob Ellerhorst. He's the director of utilities at MSU. And he explained that the two main tasks that have to be done before FRIB can flip on the switch.
The next steps for us to be able to power the facility are to build a connection between the Simon Power Plant and that site, and to expand a substation that'll give the university additional capacity to supply that future energy demand.
Where will that physically be built on the site?
The connection to the power plant, some of the work will be inside of the plant, and the only part that really will be visible will be what we call a switch house that will be located near the consumer substation that's on the power plant site.
And just to back up a little bit, how much power does this station generate for the university, and how much more are we talking about for FRIB?
The station has the capacity for 100 megawatts. The campus currently, on a demand day, uses 63 megawatts. And the forecast for the FRIB energy requirements is 20 megawatts all by itself, 18 to 20 megawatts. They're still developing the science, so that exact number is still to be confirmed, but it could be as much as 20 megawatts, or one-third of the campus requirements.
Wow.
It's a big number, yeah.
But still within that 100 megawatts threshold.
Yeah, that's the room that you have so that if we have equipment outages, we can lose an equipment block of 25 megawatts, still have 75 megawatts available to be able to supply campus. And that's all when you design a system to have reliable service. You've got to have more capacity than the demand requirement is.
Well, as people can hear, we're standing in a room full of turbines and other machinery that generates the power. Without getting too much into the minutia of how power is generated, what would really be required to ramp up the energy output that's going to be needed from this plant?
Well, we're currently constructed or connected to the site through the existing power connections for the cyclotron facility. So that is the existing umbilical cord that's supporting the construction power. And that's already ramping up, as we've seen with the pictures of the hole. And so the construction power is on a slow ramp up. And between now in 2017, we expect that to get up to about 7 megawatts, okay? And for us, that's a matter of just adding more fuel in our plant to keep up with that, balancing the load between our existing equipment. So it's really not a major hardship. But the question comes when we become that additional ramp between 7 megawatts and 20, that's when we have to have an additional step. So we need to be able to we'll no longer be able to supply power through the existing umbilical cord. We need to go through the switch house, okay? Because the existing, that at 7 megawatts will exceed the capacity of the existing connection. And then when they do that additional ramp, we're gonna look for outside support from an expanded electric grid connection. so that we have the ability to buy more energy.
This used to be a coal-fired facility. It is now 100% natural gas. How much more energy, raw material, I'm talking about, will be needed for EPRIM?
Because it's easier to visualize a railroad car than it is a cubic foot of natural gas, that we're talking about, probably 1 to 2 additional railroad cars equivalent of coal per day. When we were a coal-fired power plant, then we would be using 7 or 8 railroad cars every day on a coal basis. So if we're going to add something like 20 megawatts, that would be something like 2 more railroad cars in equivalent.
We're talking with Bob Ellerhorst, the Director of Utilities here at Michigan State University. How much will all this cost the university?
Well, the installation cost for the switch house is estimated at $11.5 million, I believe. We're working towards a substation project that it's going to be something around $24 million. So those are the physicals. Well, then you're going to get into the annual energy bill that EPRIM will be using in the future. And I really don't have that one at the tip of my tongue, but basically if you do the math, you got 20 megawatts and you got a electric rate of something in between 7 and 8 cents per kilowatt hour. So you can run the numbers out. They're big numbers, lots of zeros.
Well, the fluctuating price of energy have any influence over how much science the folks at EPRIM will be able to do? I mean, if energy costs more and it's less available, for example, does that mean there's less nuclear science going on across the campus?
Well, we're planning this right now based on, first of all, understand that all of the energy costs for the future facility are totally watched by the Department of Energy. So everything that they're going to pay for energy is going to be validated. We're aware of the fact that right now there's some speculation that electric costs could be going up in the future. So as part of our long-term planning effort, we also have an authorization from the board to think about the future for the Simon plant. And it's still on the table that perhaps an expanded self-generation might be a good enhancement in the future to buying electricity to be that price buffer. So that's still out, for review.
When do we expect to see shovels in the ground, and about how many workers are involved? Sort of the timetable of the project, to your knowledge.
Now that the board has authorized the project, the work really becomes heavy for the engineers that have to make sure that the final design details are right. Some of this gear is 12 months lead time. It's pretty common if you buy large electrical gear, 10 to 12 months. So we probably will see the switch house arrive sometime in early 16. So construction activity will probably be visible in late 15 and be functional in early 16.
What's exciting about this project for you?
Well, it's the opportunity to work with this new science, the information that we're getting and partnering with the EPRIM team, it's just amazing. And to have the opportunity to integrate that. Yeah, and we have a commitment for a reliable electrical system for Michigan State University. We're going to do that, integrate this new, and it's going to be seamless to the campus. We're going to be just as reliable as we always were, and that's part of our challenge.
Bob Ellerhorst is Director of Utilities at Michigan State University. We've been talking inside the T.B. Simon Power Plant about the future electric power needs for the EPRIM project, the facility for rare isotope beams. Bob, fascinating project. Thanks for talking with us today.
You're welcome. It's good to see you, Kevin.
You too. For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.